name is the Reverend Lisa Mason, and I have the great honor of being the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Larchmont. I pray that you enjoy this time together. I'm inviting you to open your minds and hearts to whatever message God is sending you during this sermon.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We are blessed in year B, which is the year of the lectionary we're in, when most of the Gospels are from Mark. We are blessed to have on the Feast of the Transfiguration, the last Sunday in Epiphany, two theophanies. Those are stories that are direct revelation of the presence of God. We have the story in our Old Testament, in our Hebrew scripture from 2 Kings, of Elijah and Elisha. They are journeying together because Elijah knows that he is going to be taken up into heaven, and Elisha will take on his mantle and continue to do the work God calls him to do. And Elisha, needless to say, is just a little bit, probably a whole lot, nervous, because Elijah has been this figure of love and of light and of communication to the people of God. And so when every time Elijah tells him, "You stay here, I'm going on to be swept up with God," and Elijah's like, "Oh, no, you're not going anywhere without me following you. I'm not ready." And so several times you hear Elijah asking Elisha, "Just wait, you will figure it out, it will be revealed." And Elisha saying, no, I will not leave you, until they get to the place where Elijah takes his mantle, rolls it up, touches the water, and it spreads open. And they go to the place where finally Elijah will be swept up in that chariot to heaven. And Elisha witnesses it, picks up Elijah. I wish the story went on three more passages. I'm going to tell you the good part. So Elisha takes that mantle, and fear and trembling, not yet feeling the courage or God equipping him to continue that mission. And so I can just see him with the mantle, like touching the water, and nothing happens. He immediately feels not enough. And then the Spirit moves through him, and he has this courage, and he takes the mantle, and he strikes the water, and it parts. And Elisha then goes on to carry on the mission, knowing that God is with him, God is present to him, and God is present within him. And then we move to the story of the Transfiguration. Can you imagine? I think the story is so familiar that sometimes we forget the awesomeness of it. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "Okay, come on, friends, we're going to go on a little hike to the top of the mountain"? He has been telling them that he's getting ready to die and alluding to his resurrection, but they do not have ears to listen. For like Elisha, they are nowhere near ready, feeling bold, feeling equipped to carry on this mission that Jesus is giving them to do. And so you think about them, okay, we're coming behind you. And they get to the top of the mountain, and everything is transfigured. Jesus appears in dazzling white, his garments as if on fire, star lit. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah are there. And I love Peter. I do the same thing. "Let's stay here forever, because here we're with you, and you'll tell us what to do, and we're safe. Whatever you do, don't leave us and send us back down the mountain." And so Peter offers to build tents, to make a tent village on this mountaintop. And Jesus, God, enshrouds them with a cloud. And when the cloud lifts, Jesus says, "Now we're going back down, but don't tell anybody." Now that was probably a relief at the moment. "Don't tell anybody until I've risen from the dead." Because then it's Peter, James, and John. It's each and every one of us that is to tell the story. We are called to be storytellers, tellers of God's story. We're called to tell people about God's healing power. We are called to share our own stories. God works in us and wants us to share our own life experience, walking on the journey that God calls us to walk on. Think, what do people immediately do upon the death, most often, I shouldn't say immediately, everybody, but most commonly, as soon as someone you love dies, the stories start to flow. It's healing, it's beautiful, it reveals the presence of God in the life of you and your loved one and your family. We are called to be tellers of the story, tellers that we belong to something so much bigger than ourselves. Stories of where God shows up, where God gives us a mountaintop experience from which we do not want to forget nor come down to the valleys and the flatlands of the world. Because then, like Elijah and Peter, James, and John, we're on our own, but we're really not. Because the light and the love and the presence of God stays in us on the mountaintops and on the journeys, in the painful places, in the valleys, and the ways made straight. We are part of something bigger, and we realize that we too are transfigured. Yesterday, Kirk and I and about 1,200 or 1,300 people were at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine for the installation, investiture of our next bishop. There were representations of so many languages and so much culture, and how we're called to come together and be one body. One of the readings was in Kru. One of the hymns was in Spanish. Another lady read in Malayalam. It was incredibly transfigured as we realized that everywhere we come from, as different as it may be, God makes us one. The spirit was alive, the voices in the choir resounding as Matt Hyde became our bishop. Do not forget that God works through us. I think of what we're doing right now is a type of transfiguration. I don't know what your morning looked like. It might have been the smoothest morning in the world. You might have had children or spouses that were a little slower getting ready than you are. You might have had some hard conversation, forgotten to eat breakfast, couldn't find your shoes. You might have had a really hard week. You might be exhausted, or you might be celebratory. And however you are, you make your way here. And here we get to pray together. Here we get to sing together. Here we get to confess to God the things we wish we'd done we hadn't, the things we did that we really wish we hadn't, the things we've said, the people that we saw but didn't really see. We come together and we get to ask God to lift those up so that we can be made clean and begin all over again. And then you come forward and we break bread together. When I put bread, and I don't want to speak for Dorothy, but it's such an intimate act to feed you the body of Christ and to have the Eucharistic minister feed you the blood of Christ. In that moment, just think, we are with all the company of heaven, all people that are doing this morning. I don't know about you, but we are so, so loved and part of something bigger than ourselves. And then we get to say thank you to God. That's what Eucharist is. And then we get to go out. And I hope you've been transfigured. I hope whatever it is that you came in with is lifted up, made new, so that you can go out, go down the mountain, go through the water, and be the love and light of Jesus in a world that desperately needs to hear it. Don't ever feel insignificant. Don't ever feel too weak to do what God asks you to do. Don't ever feel ill-equipped, because God is right there with you saying, be love, be hope, be grace. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you again for this time together. I pray that we always remember that we are part of a much bigger story, the story of God's love for God's people and the call for us to learn how to love God and learn how to love each and every other person we encounter with the kind of love that God has for us. And now for a blessing. Be present to today. Do not be anxious about what might happen tomorrow. The same God who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow. God will either shield you from suffering, or you will be given the unfailing strength to bear it. So be at peace then, and cast aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you forever. Amen.